Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Blood River Radio family, it's been a marvelous, marvelous time. We had great, great troopers on. I won't say guests, I'll just say family members, collaborators in this movement against global white genocide. I think we're continuing on. And you know, as long as Blood River Radio exists, as long as the Bitter Ender wants to, this will be the third hour. We all will always be the Bitter Ender's hour, and you'll know what that will be. It's always the true, accurate Confederate history. And without further ado, the Bitter Ender himself has come in here. Lord have mercy, I see that sword is in the raggedy ass shape again too. We just can't get a sword to stand up under the Bitter Ender. But you know what? At least we know he's put it to good use. But anyway, how you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Great guests on tonight, and I hope, well, I won't be up to their standard, but I'll just try to be close. When you have Monica and Paul and, my mind went blank. Got a Biden moment there. First hour. Who's on?
Yeah. Oh, Mark Tommy.
Mark, of course. Yeah. I can remember Mark. I had a Biden moment there. I'm sorry. Mine just blanked out. You know how it goes sometimes. So here's what I thought we'd do for our Confederate hour. Monday is October the 6th, and we're going to talk about a Confederate soldier that not many people have heard about. We've had several programs on General Forrest and Forrest at Fort Pillow and a biography of him and what a brilliant military strategist this was. But this person was just a private in the Confederate Army. He wasn't a general or a colonel or anybody like that. But October the 6th, 1842, a young man by the name of Sam Davis was born on a family farm near Smyrna, Tennessee. And he grew up in Middle Tennessee. And that was an advantage he had because in later life, he was a scout for the Confederate Army. At 19, he attended the Nashville Military Institute, which is today a private school for boys, Montgomery Bell Academy. And it has turned... Yeah, you've heard of it before if you've been in Tennessee. A high dollar place. I think it's about $40,000 a year or something like that. Anyway, for the rich and famous, but it has turned into just another woke communist indoctrination center. You pay $40,000 for your kid to go there and get his head crammed full of all kind of liberal crap. So they had a statue of Sam Davis in the foyer there at the entrance of the school, and he wasn't in a Confederate uniform. He was like a schoolboy, had books wrapped up in a strap, you know, and the costume or clothes that they'd wear back in the 1840s for a schoolboy. So it wasn't a military statue, but then, of course, down below, they had a plaque there telling who it was. He went to the Nashville Military Institute, which later became Montgomery Bell Academy, and his service in the Confederate Army, and then about him being murdered by the Federals down in Pulaski, Tennessee. Well, they got rid of the statue. That might upset some of the highly recruited Negro athletes that they had to pump up their football team. And I doubt that many of them could pass an honest entrance exam to Montgomery Bell. Probably most of them couldn't spell IQ. But they could run a 4.240, so that meant they were a prime student for them to be receiving a scholarship and go to this private school. Anyway, well, I can't say too much about MBA. For 11 years, I coached across town at another private school called Franklin Road Academy, which real original name is on Franklin Road there just south of Nashville. And we were nicknamed the Rebels, because the school campus was on the ground of the second day's fighting, December 16th at the Battle of Nashville in 1864. Oh. And when we built a football field up on top of this hill, that's where the Confederate defenders under Stephen D. Lee were dug in on the top of that hill. And building that football field, we found buckets of shell fragments, bullets, and even found a round, artillery round with a Borman fuse still in it. And we called the Nashville Metro Police Bomb Squad to come out and take care of that. we didn't want to take that one as a souvenir. So then, after I left, several years after I left, went to work with my brother in that sports medicine program, they had some guy came in there and threw the whole bunch of money at them to get them to change the nickname of the school because they weren't recruiting enough quality minority athletes. And so they changed it to, I don't know what it is, the Panthers, the Pussycats, the FRA Ass Kissers, whatever it is today. And I've never gone back. Well, I'll take it back. Went back one time, they had a retirement ceremony for one of the coaches, a young man that started his coaching career when I was there, and I wanted to see David and congratulate him, wish him the best. Never again going back. I don't believe in honoring people that slap us in the face, Eddie. That is just totally insulting. Why would I want to go honor somebody that has bought into this woke and they have a DEI administrator at the school now to make sure they get enough minorities in there. Can't read, can't do math, but they get them in there anyway. So why do I want to honor some school, some institution that's doing something like that? So anyhow, Sam Davis went to the Nashville Military Institute. The headmaster there at that time was Bushrod Johnson, who later became a Confederate general. And most of these schools, like Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, were founded, Swanee up at Mont Eagle on the mountain, were founded by either Confederate officers after the war or gentlemen that became Confederate officers during the war. And now they run away from the Confederate history just as fast as they can. And if it weren't for some of these Confederates, there wouldn't be a Vanderbilt. There wouldn't be a Swanee, University of the South at Swanee, Tennessee. So anyway, they just turn their back on the people that got their schools started and go on their merry politically correct ways. So as the war against Lincoln's invasion was heating up, Sam joined the Rutherford County Rifles. Now, Smyrna, where he was born, is in Rutherford County. It's southeast of Nashville, between Nashville and Murfreesboro, right on I-24. So the Rutherford County Rifles, he was in Company I, the 1st Tennessee Infantry, and they were shipped out. There were about four regiments from Tennessee that were shipped out and went to Virginia. Everybody was thinking the war was going to be over so quick, they wanted to get in on it before it was over. Little did they realize this thing was going to drag on for 4 years. But he was in Virginia and fought at Cheat Mountain, Virginia, which is now West Virginia, and he actually served under Robert E. Lee. And Lee was assigned to those counties in Western Virginia. It wasn't the state of West Virginia. It was just Western Virginia at that time. And then Lincoln, of course, the hypocrite that he was, said, states cannot secede. You cannot do that. We're going to invade your country, kill 280,000 of your men and destroy your homes, but you can't secede. But then he allowed the western counties into Virginia to secede from Virginia and form a new state of West Virginia, which, of course, he made sure was loyal to the Union. So much for hypocrisy. Sam was in the 1st Tennessee Infantry, and the 1st Tennessee was also the unit that Sam Watkins from Columbia, Tennessee, joined. And Sam Watkins was famous after the war in the 1880s for the book he wrote, Company H. And he was in Company H of the 1st Tennessee Infantry. And a lot of historians say that's probably the best first-hand account of the war was Sam Watkins' account that first ran in serial episodes in the Columbia newspaper, and it became so popular then it was turned into a book. So Sam was wounded at Shiloh. He was wounded very seriously at Perryville, Kentucky. And while he was at home recuperating, they asked him in the fall of 1863 to be assigned to Coleman Scouts. And Coleman Scouts operated behind enemy lines. Now, they weren't spies. They wore Confederate uniforms. And they were operating in Middle Tennessee to try to send information down to Chattanooga or North Georgia for Braxton Bragg and let them know how many soldiers were being sent to Chattanooga to lift the siege of Chattanooga. Because after the Battle of Chickamauga, remember we had talked about that, the Yankee army was routed off the field, driven back up over Missionary Ridge and down into Chattanooga, and then the Confederates had them pinned up there. The Confederates were up on Lookout Mountain and over on the east side on Missionary Ridge. and that Bragg was going to try to starve him out, and he split up his army and sent part of it up to Knoxville to take care of the Yankees up there, and left too small of a force at Chattanooga, and Grant and Sherman came in there, kicked Rosecrans out, and eventually drove the Confederates off both Lookout Mountain and Missionary Ridge in November of 1863. But Sam and the Coleman scouts were telling them, they're sending reinforcements there. You need to finish these people off immediately because they're going to outnumber you before long. We will pick up the story of Sam Davis, the boy hero of the Confederacy, right after the break.
Can't wait to hear it. I've never heard this before. We'll be right back, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Well, Blood River Radio family, Jock Ewing had it right. He said pretty much the same thing that the Mao Zedong said. Real power. No one gives you real power. Real power you gotta take. I like old Jock Ewing. I really did like that. I like that quote. Anyway, going right back to the bitter ender. He's giving us a fascinating history lesson. I'm always amazed at how Gene, the bitter ender, can get all this in his head. It never ceases to amaze me. Anyway, back to you, bitter ender.
Well, it's quite an important date. We talked about, I thought this would be a good date to start off our October broadcast because we talked about October 6, 1842 being the birthday of Sam Davis, the Confederate scout and later known as boy hero of the Confederacy, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But you just reminded me, October 6, 2018 is another great date. It was the first broadcast of Blood River Radio. So, Eddie, congratulations for struggling through and keeping the show going and all the really tremendous guests that you have come on. It's really amazing, and want to congratulate you for sticking with it and keeping your head to the wind, as they say, and really doing a great job. So congratulations on the Blood River Radio birthday.
Well, thank you. And Gene, thank you for being such a humongous part of it. I'll tell you what, as everybody knows, the third hour is the bitter ender hour. It will always be as long as there's Blood River Radio and as long as you and I are both alive, you will be up there dispelling all this crap the communist Jews put in fill our youngsters' heads with in this so-called schools. The fool schools. But anyway, so
well, God bless you. We had a couple of that, of schools that were private schools. They weren't being told to by the government. They just knuckled under for monetary reasons. Private schools here in Nashville that just bailed out and got rid of their Confederate history. And, you know, I call them the Judas Academies. They sold their soul for 30 pieces of silver or something. I don't know how many pieces of silver it was, but they turned their back on their Southern history and heritage for money. And so that's what they've done. They influence the young people and get them to bail out. And like the communists said, it's a long march through the institutions. Well, we get back to our lesson today, our subject today is Sam Davis, and said he was transferred from the regular Army into Coleman Scouts, which is special ops. Kind of like Marine Recon units or Green Beret or Navy SEALs. They operated behind Union lines, and they were not spies. They were wearing Confederate uniforms, so they couldn't accuse them of being spies. They weren't dressed as civilians, or they weren't wearing Yankee uniforms. But in that fall of 1863, they were gathering information on General Grenville Dodge's division, which was moving through Middle Tennessee and heading down to Chattanooga to help lift the siege that the Confederates had laid on the Union Army in Chattanooga by controlling the high ground, Missionary Ridge to the east and Lookout Mountain kind of to the southwest, and Brown's Ferry. So the Yankees were being starved out of Chattanooga. They couldn't get supplies in there, and the Confederates, rather than, as Forrest advised, right after the battle at Chickamauga, instead of coming up over Missionary Ridge and finish them off, they just waited around and wound up losing Chattanooga and Knoxville. So Sam was captured near a place called Minor Hill near Pulaski, Tennessee, which is down pretty close to the Tennessee-Alabama state line, on November 19th, 1863. And they searched him and searched the heel of his boot, and he had information there about the Union strength in Middle Tennessee. He had letters and newspapers that were to be delivered to the Army of Tennessee headquarters. Now, this Grenville Dodge that was head of the Yankee divisions in that area accused Sam of being a spy, which is a lie. Now, he did have a blue U.S. overcoat, but it had been dyed or stained to a dark brown with walnuts. Now, the U.S. Army overcoats were light blue, and he was wearing a coat that was dark brown. And the irony of the whole thing was he was captured by a cavalry unit of cavalry Jayhawkers that were in Confederate uniforms, and they were riding around rounding up prisoners or any kind of Confederates they could get. And after it was too late to realize what had happened, Sam learned that he'd been captured by Yankee soldiers from Kansas. Now, what the heck were Kansas soldiers doing all the way to Tennessee? Anyway, Yankee soldiers dressed up in Confederate uniforms. He was taken before General Dodge, and I used to be a member of the NRA. And I thought, well, we need some help with our gun rights. But then they had a big article there on Grenville Dodge and how he founded the National Rifle Association, or was one of the founders, and they bragged on his service during the Civil War. And I thought, brag on that? He was a murderer. He murdered an innocent soldier, didn't treat him as a prisoner of war. He murdered him. And after I found out that what Dodge did to prop up the NRA, I dropped out of that organization. Like I said, I refuse to pay money to people who insult us. It just doesn't make any sense. He was taken before Dodge. They held a court-martial, and surprise, surprise, he was found guilty of a spy, being a spy, and sentenced to be hanged. So less than a week later, they carried out the execution. But while he was in jail in Pulaski, and that building that they had him in is still there, right off the town square in Pulaski, Tennessee, he was offered a chance to save his life if he would reveal the name of his commanding officer. And they knew Sam wasn't head of Coleman Scouts, but they could not find these people. They knew they were operating in Middle Tennessee. They knew they were sending information out. but they couldn't track down who was head of it, and they, only one or two of the members of Coleman Scouts had been captured. And so if he would give the name of his commanding officer, they would let him go. It was Captain Shaw. And the irony of the whole situation was that Captain Shaw was in the jail cell right next to him. And the Yankees didn't know that he was head of Coleman Scouts. They just thought he was some old Confederate deserter that was trying to go home. They gobbled him up and threw him in jail just to send him up to the one of the concentration camps in the north and starve him to death. So Sam talked to his commanding officer, Captain Shaw, and Captain Shaw told him, said, "Son, tell him and save your life." And Sam said, "No, sir. If I tell them who you are, then they'll hang both of us." And the irony of this is that after Sam was murdered on the gallows there in Pulaski, right outside Pulaski, the other Confederates that they had were just, they thought, deserters or, you know, people trying to go home or whatever. They loaded them on a train, sent them north to try to stick them in these prisoner of war camps so they'd either freeze them to death or starve them to death. And Shaw jumped off a train in Kentucky, made his escape, and got back to the Confederate Army. And, of course, Sam was stuck there in that jail in Pulaski. 1 week later, after his capture, Sam was taken right outside of Pulaski on a hill there. He was led up on a scaffold, had a rope around his neck, and at the last minute, an officer rode up and gave him another chance to save his life. And Sam's quote was has become famous. "If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all, rather than betray a friend or my country." And they dropped the trap and hung him. He was murdered by the U.S. Army on November 27th, 1863, on a hill right outside Pulaski. And the people in Pulaski were so upset they were going to hang him on the town square. And the people there were so upset they didn't want to see this travesty of justice take place in their town. And they raised such a big stink, the Yankees were afraid, well, it may start a riot or something. So they took him outside of town and built a gallows up on this hill and hung him right there. So the young man, Sam Davis, was eventually, his body was returned to Smyrna and is buried in a garden area out behind his house. In the early 1900s, a statue of Sam Davis was placed on the Capitol grounds in Nashville, Tennessee. And they also have a statue to Sam Davis on the square in Pulaski, Tennessee. And there is in 1912, a memorial stained glass window of Sam Davis was placed in the Museum of the Confederacy in Richmond. And in 1920s, the Sam Davis home became a state historic site. And like I said, his grave is in the backyard and became a Confederate shrine. His father had a monument made, an obelisk, to put over his grave. And I haven't been there in a while, but they used to fly a Confederate flag from the gravesite. I hope they still do. There's a small museum and a memorial on the hill outside of Pulaski, Tennessee, where Sam was murdered. There were a lot of things in Nashville and in Tennessee that were named after Sam Davis. The person that started the fundraising drive to have the monument put on the state capitol grounds was a gentleman named by the name of Sumner Cunningham, and he was editor of the Confederate Veteran Magazine, which began publishing in the late 1880s or 1890s, and it had articles from Confederate veterans and descriptions of what they did during the war and so forth. And Cunningham kept hearing these stories about Sam Davis, and came up with the term the boy hero of the Confederacy, and had all kind of fundraising campaigns to make money to have this statue sculpted of Sam Davis and put on the Capitol grounds. And back then, the Tennessee government was glad to get any kind of Confederate monument, where today they have them taken down. We'll finish the story of Sam Davis, the boy hero of the Confederacy, right after the break.
That's an amazing story, Gene. God bless you, Gene. Be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. British authorities have declared Thursday's Yom Kippur attack against a synagogue in Manchester an act of terrorism. They are still investigating what motivated the attacker. He was shot dead by police. Police are questioning six other people in connection with the attack. We are learning more about the attacker as correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
Jihad El-Shami was shot and killed by police outside the Heaton Park Congregation Synagogue after he rammed a car into pedestrians and attacked them with a knife. Two people were killed. Detectives say El-Shami, a British citizen of Syrian origin who lived in Manchester, may have been influenced by extreme Islamist ideology. They are still trying to determine if he acted alone. Three men and three women were arrested on suspicion of the commission, preparation, and instigation of acts of terrorism. A court granted police five more days to hold them. I'm Ed Donahue.
Correspondent Donna Warder explains reports that the Russia drone strike on Ukraine that the country's president is calling savage.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian drone strike on Saturday struck a Ukrainian rail station, injuring at least 30. It happened in Shostka, a city northeast of Kyiv, about 43 miles from the Russian border in the Sumy region. The regional governor says in a video handout that seven of the injured are in the hospital, one with critical injuries. I'm Donna Warder.
Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez is in critical condition after being stabbed in Indianapolis early today. Sanchez, who works as a commentator for Sports Network, was in Indy covering the Colts and Raiders game for tomorrow. Chicago Mass Transit is starting to feel the effects of the government shutdown. White House Budget Director Russ Vogt says the administration will withhold $2.1 billion for Chicago infrastructure projects. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings us Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlock mental clarity and precision, nurture your memory, and boost your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory and mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy or not recalling things as quickly as you used to, Think Factor could be just what you need to reclaim your cognitive edge. I am so thrilled with the results I personally have received from Think Factor. I'm thinking clearer and better than ever. If you've ever thought, I wish I could be more clear, more focused, try Think Factor today. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Think Factor, think clearer, perform better daily.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks
are born, made to you, Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. We're going to eat our peanut butter sandwiches with the smell of napalm in the air. So back to the iterator himself. Love that napalm, man. My mouth is mom's cooking, home cooking. So go ahead, iterator.
Oh, I don't know about mom's home cooking. Like napalm. Well, today on our Confederate Hour, we've been talking about a very famous Tennessean and trying to get his name out to our listeners all over the country. And the boy's name was Sam Davis. He enlisted in the Confederate Army when he was 19 and was murdered when he was 21. And he was known as the boy hero of the Confederacy. And the reason he got that title was because of being murdered by the federal soldiers in Pulaski, Tennessee, and he wouldn't tell them his commanding officer's name. And the quote that he gave is engraved on the Sam Davis Monument on the Capitol grounds in Nashville, Tennessee. And the quote was that he was given a chance to save his life if he would tell the federal officers who his commanding officer was. They knew he was just a courier. He wasn't head of the Coleman Scouts, and that's who they were trying to find out. So they gave him one last chance on the gallows with a rope around his neck that he could save his life. And he said, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all before I would betray my country or the confidence of a friend. And shortly after that, they hung him. So he was, as we were talking about, he's brought back to the family home in Smyrna, Tennessee. And that home now and the grounds around it is a state historic site. There's a monument to him out in the graveyard behind the house where he's buried. There were other things. We talked about the stained glass window in the Museum of the Confederacy. The statue that was put up on the Capitol grounds in the early 1900s. And I've seen pictures of the crowd that was there. Now, you couldn't get that many people on the Capitol grounds because they've cut away the hillside and put the state library and the state Supreme Court on the street right next to it. And there's a big drop-off down there. But back then, the Capitol grounds sloped way down. You had a lot of area around the Capitol there. And those pictures that they made back then, they said probably between 10 and 15,000 people came to the dedication of that monument. And it was the money was raised, as we mentioned, by Sumner Cunningham, who was the editor of Confederate Veteran Magazine. And they would run different ads, and they would actually list the names of people that had contributed. And one of my ancestors, Captain Elbert Sexton, was in a company commander in the 50th Tennessee Infantry from over in West Tennessee, and his name was in there two or three times making donations to the Sam Davis Monument. And so that was pretty interesting to see that. And you have to remember, at this period in history, the South was just destroyed by the war, and even worse was Reconstruction. And the carpetbaggers and the big kings, barons of the industry came down here and stole every piece of land that they could get their hands on because Southerners had no money and they couldn't pay the tax on it. And so the Vanderbilts, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, all of these people just made tons of money off of land that they'd stolen from the South. And that Biltmore over in North Carolina was one of the things the Vanderbilts built. And I wondered how much of that land they stole from the people that were living there. Anyway, getting off the subject a little bit. I get upset with these people sometimes, Eddie. I don't know if you are our listeners that picked up on that, but I'm still bitter after 60 years after the war. We talked about the things that were built in honor of Sam Davis. There's a statue on the square in Pulaski, Tennessee, where he was captured and murdered, the one on the state capitol grounds. But, of course, our good friends in the minority community couldn't stand for having a statue of a Confederate soldier on the state capitol grounds. So they whined and moaned and cried and boo-hooed about how terrible this was, and so they appeased them by putting a sign right smack in front of the Sam Davis statue talking about the middle passage of slavery and their overestimated numbers of how many millions of slaves are brought across from Africa and brought to the U.S. and as enslaved people. Of course, on that sign, they failed to mention that they were captured by other Africans in Africa and sold, taken down to the coast and sold. So if they want to blame somebody for slavery, look in the mirror and look at the color of the person you're looking at in the mirror, and that's who you need to blame for slavery. Not necessarily the whites that bought them over here when they got here, but the ones that captured them in Africa and sold them to the Portuguese and then the Spanish and the French and the British and all the other European countries that brought them over here. So that being said, there were other names that were used in Tennessee. 1928, they had, at that time, was really a top-notch hotel in Nashville. Had over 200 rooms, the Sam Davis Hotel. And it was right close to the Capitol on that Memorial Square where the State Museum is now and the big parking garage for all the criminals in the state legislature to park. But it was torn down in the early 2000s, a lot of the downtown hotels had gone downhill. Andrew Jackson Hotel was gone, the Sam Davis, the Noel Hotel. The only one that they preserved and have taken care of is the Hermitage downtown. It's still on the original site, still has a lot of the original decor inside that's been rearranged. And while we're off the subject a little bit, the Hermitage Hotel at one time had the original paintings of Gilbert Gall. And he was the one that did so many of these Confederate paintings after the war and had a studio in Nashville in the early 1900s. And I know you've probably seen these, the boy leaving home where he's shaking hands with his father and the mother sitting over in the chair crying, and then letters from the front where they're reading a letter from him, and then the other one, the battle scene, holding the line at all hazards. Those paintings were hanging in the lobby of the Hermitage. And then the hotel, like a lot of them downtown, began to go downhill. And what happened was after all the forced integration in Nashville of the lunch counters for the department stores and the dime stores downtown, they had the big sit-ins and protests in the early 60s, and the blacks took over downtown Nashville and ran the whites out. The whites weren't going to go down there and be attacked and insulted, especially the women. You don't want these black animals coming after you. And so they pretty much shut down downtown Nashville, and everything moved out into the suburbs, and they started building malls out there to get away from them. And then they've moved out into the malls and closed up two or three of those that were overrun with gangs and so forth. So anyway, and the other thing was, in the Hermitage Hotel, in the lobby, I met Governor George Wallace when he was on his political campaign, running for president, and then first for the Democratic ticket, and then for as an independent candidate. He was making a speech that night in Municipal Auditorium in downtown Nashville, and I just went down there, happened to be going down there to get a haircut, the barbershop in the basement of the Hermitage. And Governor Wallace was walking across the lobby, and he didn't have a big entourage and a bunch of Alabama State Police or anything. He was just walking, said hi to a couple of people, and I went up and introduced myself. And very, very nice individual. And he was so proud to be in Nashville. He hoped we were going to have a good crowd that night. And I said, oh, yes, sir. My dad and I are going to be there for sure. If you only have two people, it's going to be us two. And he laughed. And he said, well, I hope we have more than two people. So really a fine individual. And the thing was, Eddie, he had won enough primaries to possibly get the nomination for the Democratic candidate. And that's why he was shot, because they couldn't allow him to run for president on the Democratic ticket, because he may have won. And so that's why he was shot. that guy that shot him was supposed to kill him, and it didn't. It just paralyzed him. But that's why he was taken out. It's amazing in this country how certain people that don't fit the criteria of the, I don't know what you're going to call it, the power throne, the power group behind the throne, or the order of the, you know, whatever they are. If somebody rises up and looks like a commoner or a person that's not part of the political establishment, looks like they might be going somewhere, they have them assassinated. And a lot of people, yes, sure, that's what happened to Charlie Kirk, that he was popular, that he may have been running for president with Vance or Ron DeSantis or somebody in the next presidential election after Trump, since Trump can't secede himself. He's had two terms. So it's amazing how they just have somebody take these people out. So I'm sure that's what happened to Governor Wallace. Well, back to Sam Davis.
We gotta go
got a couple
quick
more break, stories dude. About Sam Davis right after the break. We'll wind it up today.
Can't wait. Be right back, folks.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd just like to say I'm so glad we've made 7 years. I'm so glad that Blood River Radio survived 7 years. Thank God we've had great people like Gene and Bitter Ender, and I'd like to say God bless Governor George Wallace. What a hero. What a great man. So anyway, back to you, Bitter Ender.
Yeah, and like I said, we want to congratulate Blood River Radio for October the 6th being the starting date. And it was ironic that I didn't know that, but we were using October the 6th today for the birth date of Sam Davis, boy, hero of the Confederacy. We'd been talking about what he went through and the decision he made not to to save his life. He wouldn't turn in his commanding officer, the Coleman Scouts. A couple of other things I thought we'd add in there. We've been talking about downtown Nashville. There was a Sam Davis Hotel, and of course it's gone now. And by chance, the only one of the old hotels that's left is the Hermitage, and I met Governor Wallace there in the lobby of the Hermitage when he was coming to Nashville to make a speech for, he was running for the Democratic nomination for president. And that's why they tried to kill him. they didn't have as many primaries back then as we had today. I think there were only three or four. And then you had the primary election in all the states. But I remember he was running, and the liberal newspaper in Nashville, the Tennessean, and all the major news networks, NBC and CBS and all them, oh, they were just poo-pooing him. As, oh, he's just a regional candidate. Well, he won't get any votes outside of just the Deep South. And oh, the Florida primary is coming up, and he'll lose that big time. There's so many people in Florida that moved in from other parts of the country. He'll be lucky if he gets 100 votes in Florida, something like that, some exaggeration like that. Well, the Florida primary came along, and he swept it. He cleaned out all the other Democratic candidates, and they're going, holy moly, this guy could wind up winning this thing. And because that was a big primary then, and I don't think there were as many after that as we have today, but they went into a panic mode, and I'm pretty sure that's why they had that guy that tried to kill him. Because it looked like he might win the Democratic nomination. So anyhow, that being said, we get back to our story about Sam Davis and the Coleman scouts. They talked about the different monuments that were around here. Had an interesting tie-in to him. I joined the Sons of Confederate Veterans back in 1988, and each Confederate veteran camp around the country, well, in Europe, as well, and in South America, is named for some famous Confederate or a unit in the Confederate Army or Navy, ship, or whatever. And the camp that I joined in Nashville, southern part of Nashville, and we have members from southern part of Davidson County and northern part of Williamson County, is the Sam Davis Camp of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Sam Davis Camp 1293, Sons of Confederate Veterans. And when I joined in 1988, we had two real sons that were in there, Mr. Bob and Mr. George Herbert. And their father, Robert Herbert, had been in the Confederate Army. And not only had he been in the Confederate Army, he had been in Coleman Scouts. And that's why they picked that name for that SCV camp. And Robert Herbert had been a courier in Coleman Scouts. And he was like 15 or 16 years old and got stopped by a Yankee patrol, and they just thought he was a kid out riding around. They took his horse and kicked him off in a ditch and took his horse and let him go. And Mr. Bob Herbert was telling me that story, and he said if they had checked the heel of his boots, they would have found that he was carrying messages in the heel of his boot, just like Sam Davis was. And then Mr. Herbert said, and kind of laughed, he said, and they'd have hung him, and then I wouldn't be here. So that was somebody that actually had his father in the Coleman Scouts. And I thought that was very interesting tie-in to be in the local Sons of Confederate Veterans camp, the Sam Davis camp, and have two sons that had their father that was actually in Coleman Scouts. And like I said, he was real young. And the Yankees just thought he was some kid out riding around, and they wanted the horse, so they took his horse and kicked him off to the side, got rid of him. But, Mr. George Herbert was having a lot of health issues, and he was in pretty bad health shape. But Mr. Bob was still just as lively as he could be, and he worked down clearing off Winstead Hill, which is owned by the Sam Davis Camp. It's south of Franklin on that Columbia Pike, and that was supposedly where General John Bell Hood's observation was, up about 50 yards up on the side of that hill where he observed the Battle of Franklin. And Mr. Bob would go down there and help mow that thing and clear out dead trees and everything way up into his 80s. And he enjoyed telling that story about his father and said, yeah, if they'd have checked the heel of his boot, they'd have hung him just like they hung Sam Davis. And he'd laugh and say, then I wouldn't be here. So anyway, that was a kind of interesting tie into history right there. So I hope our listeners have gotten a little information today about one of our lesser-known Confederate heroes. And like I said, the statue is still there on the Capitol grounds. Our lion double-crossing governor, still Slick Willie Lee, hadn't gotten rid of that one. He got rid of the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest. That the money was raised by the other Sam Davis camp in Nashville, the Joe Johnston camp, and they raised the money and had Mrs. Baxendale do the sculpture of Bedford Forest, a beautiful bust. I mean, very lifelike and great detail on it. Gave it to the state of Tennessee, and then our governor decides that he's under... Oh, and he lied about it. He had a fundraiser when he was running for election as governor, and one of the members from the Joe Johnston camp, Mr. White, sat across the table from him and paid pretty big bucks to go to this fundraiser and asked him right to his face, will you protect our Confederate monuments? Oh, yes, sir. I'm a conservative Republican. Oh, yeah. Will you keep the forest bust in the state capitol? Because the blacks were complaining about that since the day it was put in there. Oh, yes, sir, it'll be there. The lying rat wasn't in office 6 months, and he started weaseling out of what he said and trying to get the forest bust out of the state capitol. And so he finally did, because he appointed blacks and liberal whites to the Capitol Commission, which decides on which statues and which portraits can be hung in the state capitol. So he can say, oh, I didn't do it. The Capitol Commission did it. Yeah, well, who appointed them? Lying rat. And he appointed them, and that's who got it out of there. And they stuck it back in a corner, supposedly. It's supposed to be in the State Museum. I've had people go down there to the State Museum and say, yeah, it's there, all right, but it's stuck way back in the corner, where you've got to work your way around to try to get down there to see it. And before, it was in an alcove where they had, you know, like Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett and a lot of former famous Tennesseans, James K. Pope, and things like that. And they had one for Forrest because he was a Tennessean and probably the greatest Tennessee military person to come out of the state of Tennessee. But, you know, when the blacks snap their fingers and crack the whip, the liberal whites jump and holler and run around in circles and do whatever they tell them to do. So anyway, that's kind of the story behind the story of a lot of our Confederate history that's been taken away from us here in Tennessee. And it's, you know, all over the country. You know, they destroyed Monument Avenue in Richmond. I don't know if you ever got a chance to go see that, Eddie, but that street there in Richmond had grass and trees right down the middle of it, kind of like a parkway. And it was one of the most beautiful streets in America. And it had Lee and Stonewall Jackson and Jeb Stuart and Matthew Fontaine Murray. And all of those statues are gone now. And so I don't know.
That's beyond sad. I wish I had seen that. That is beyond sad. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it seemed like the scum always rises to the top. The scum always gets control of us. I was just thinking of that big supporter you're talking about that gave all that money to the governor and he reneged on his promise. I'm just wondering, some states, a verbal contract is legally binding. I wonder if it'd be nice if he could sue that sorry son of a bitch and get the money back that he contributed.
It would be the right thing to do, but when you got liberal judges, that you could have an ironclad case and they'll still throw it out.
That's true.
The judicial system is so corrupt along with the politicians, and they're all former lawyers and they're all big buddy buddies, and you know, one of them's not going to turn on the other one, so taking legal action on it is kind of a waste of time and money, and we've seen that too many times how they do that. So anyway, we will try to maybe we can come up with a little bit better subject for next week, not so depressing. But I thought it'd be interesting, since we're coming up on that October 6th, to bring up the information about Sam Davis and what he did and the courage he had to sacrifice his own life to save another Confederate individual that he had been working with. And even his commanding officer told him, tell them what they need to know and save your life. And he said, nope, they'll hang both of us. So that was courage back in the 1800s. We don't see much of it today.
No, it's not only is it rare, I think it's non-existent. I think the courage like that has gone the way of the dinosaur. Well, Gene, thank you so much, buddy. You did a marvelous broadcast tonight, and I think it's fitting that it came into two events, October 6th birthdays at Blood River Radio, this hero we just got to celebrate. But God bless you, and thank you so much for coming in, Gene. And next week, God willing, we'll be here same time, same place. And thank you, Blood River Radio family. Thank you, Jeremiah and Jay and Miss Lizzie. Thank you for making Blood River Radio fly. Good night, everybody.